Father, I praise you that you are such a good, good Father. I pray, Father, that you'd reveal yourself to every one of us here this morning, wherever we've come from spiritually, wherever we are in our journey this morning, we'd see you and we'd receive you into our hearts, and our hearts would be filled with your love, that every person here would be transformed by what you've done for providing a Savior for us in Jesus Christ. And we'd be filled up with that love, that love that comes from you because you're such a good, good Father. So speak to us, we ask, and make yourself known to us. Transform every one of us by your love and by the power of your Spirit. Speak your word right into our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. Thank you so much for being here this morning on this Father's Day and making it a part of your worship experience. We're delighted to host you here at Crossline, especially if you're here as a guest. We are wrapping up a series we began several weeks ago on relationships. We said that if our relationships aren't working, then life's not working. That life's all about relationships. So we started with a look at the great commandment where Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor. And then we unpacked all those one another's in the Bible that call us to healthy, successful relationships. And we talked about how we've got to live it out at work, making it work at work. And then we talked about for moms on Mother's Day, the unique relationships of a woman. And then we talked about being single and living as a single person with healthy relationships. And then we talked about marriage and how to have healthy relationships in marriage. And then we looked last week at parenting. And today we're wrapping it up on Father's Day, speaking to the men, talking about being husbands and dads and just men, the kind of men that God has called us to be. I'm going to be pulling my thoughts out of 1 John chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And if you need one, there's one in front of you if you're sitting in one of the pews. We'll also have the scripture up on the screen. But here's the direction I'm going with in this message based on scripture. God's will is that every man attain to spiritual adulthood. God's will is that every man grows to maturity in his relationship with Jesus Christ, and he becomes a spiritual father. That's the term that we're going to be looking at out of 1 John chapter 2. So this is God's will. We may not all be physical fathers, but God's will is that every man be a spiritual father. It's a part of a process of spiritual growth and process of becoming a spiritual adult, which is God's will for every man in this audience. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to England on several trips, speaking at a church right outside of London in Fulham, Christ Church Fulham. And the pastor there is a friend of mine. He's retired now, but the vicar, as they say in the Church of England, Pastor Gary Piper, he's one of he's like a Crossline kind of a guy. He grew up playing football, which is, soccer to us, and was a very skilled athlete, played at the collegiate level, wanted to play pro, but kind of blew out his knee, wasn't able to do that. And so he kind of had this passion for sports. And in addition to being the vicar of the church, he was the chaplain for the Fulham Football Club. So if you kind of keep up with sports and soccer at the world level, there's a big club there in Fulham, and he's the chaplain for that team. In fact, he used to wear the colors of Fulham underneath his robe as he'd preached so that he could take his robe off right after church and make a beeline to the football stadium and be there on the field for being the chaplain. When he invited me to speak at his church, this is what he said. He said, JP, I want you to speak at my church because we have a lot of lionesses, but not very many lions. A lot of lionesses, but not very many lions. And what he was saying is there are a lot of women in our church who love Jesus, who are spiritually mature, who are serving the Lord, who are spiritual servant leaders, but we have very few men. And unfortunately, that's not only true in England, it's true in the United States. We have in our churches very few men who have grown to spiritual adulthood and are spiritual fathers. And yet that's the actual call of God. Listen to some of the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 5. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is just a baby, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. Philippians chapter 3, Not that I've already obtained this resurrection knowledge of Jesus or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. One thing I do, I forget what lies behind. I strain towards what lies ahead and I press on towards this goal for which Jesus has called me heavenward. Ephesians chapter 4. Until we all attain to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. That's Jesus. And Colossians chapter 1, we proclaim Jesus. We warn everyone. We teach everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. See, God's paradigm for our spiritual lives is that we grow to spiritual maturity. We grow to spiritual adulthood. 1 John says it this way, speaking to everybody, but very specifically to men, he says this, I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his namesake. I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, you young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I write to you children, because you know the Father. I write to you fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I write to you young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. John is addressing three audiences in the church, and he's laying out a spiritual paradigm for how we ought to grow up spiritually. He says, in the spiritual journey, you first become a child, then you become a young man, and then you become a father. Now, John writes this in an interesting way. He writes it kind of poetically. It's put together in two stanzas, some of the things he repeats in each stanza, and some of the things he adds a new element to it. He writes it in an interesting way because he says, in the present tense, I am writing. And then in the second stanza, he writes in the Greek aorist tense, I just wrote. So the point is, I'm writing and I just wrote this. It's a literary device to put our attention on what he's actually writing. He's wanting to grip us with the message. And as he describes kind of each phase of spiritual growth, being a child, being a young man, and being a father, he writes it in what's known in the Greek as the perfect tense. It's an experience that we have attained, we already have it, and we're living in it. So you come to the experience of being a child and you live in it. You come to the experience of being a young man and you live in it. You come to the experience of being a father and you live in it. Every guy here is on a spiritual journey. The issue is, what's your next step? The issue is, what's your next step? And I would like to exhort you this morning, men, like a coach, take the next step. Don't leave here having just checked off a box that you came to church on Father's Day. Hear what God says and take the next step in your spiritual journey. So in this passage, the end is being a spiritual father. So I want to talk on that. How to become a spiritual father. Here's my first observation. Understand God's process of maturity. Own where you are and take your next step. Understand God's process. Own where you are and take your next step. That's kind of like a helicopter view of the passage. See, there is a process. Understand it. Embrace it. Honestly, kind of own where you are in the process and then say, okay, what's the next step I got to take? See, there are some of us here. We haven't even been born yet. We're not yet children. The Bible says that we have to be born again spiritually. We have to receive Christ and we become children of God. There's some of us here, we're seekers. That's awesome, by the way. We want to be a church that every Sunday we have seekers. We have people who are asking questions, who are curious. They're our friends, they're our neighbors. And if you're one of those folks, thank you for being here. It took courage to come to church. And we want to encourage you, take your next step, become a child. If you're here and you're a child in the faith, that is an awesome stage of spiritual growth. There's some great things about being a child, but take your next step. If you're here as a young man, that is a tremendous phase of the spiritual development. I'm not talking about age. Not talking about how old you are. I'm talking about where you are spiritually. And if you're in that phase of being a young man, there's some developmental tasks that are so important about being a young man. And then for those of us who are fathers, let's live out that fatherly role and bless the church and the world. Take the next step. So every guy here is on a journey. We got to take the next step. When I was in high school, I was a sophomore. The summer after my sophomore year, I went on a camping trip with a buddy of mine and his dad. So this is the three of us. And we this is up in Northern California. We went up into the Sierras. We camped at a base camp, which was pretty far kind of into the mountains. And then my buddy and I, we were just 15. We went on a kind of a overnight hike and kind of cross-country trail. So we set out, we had a compass and a map and a backpack. Now, for us at 15, that was pretty courageous. And we knew where we ultimately wanted to get back to, which was base camp, but there was a trail that we were following and we wanted to do some exploring. So we were making frequent references back to our map so that we knew where we were and then the next step we needed to take to get where we were going. You know, in the spiritual journey, man, it's the same way. There is a journey for us. There's a path that God has for our spiritual growth. Understand that. Know where you are in the path. Don't say you're somewhere that you're not. Own exactly where you are, but then also know what your next step is and take it. And take it. That's part of becoming a spiritual adult. So the question at this juncture of understanding God's call is this: do I embrace God's process for my spiritual maturity? Do I know where I am in the journey? And am I going to take the next step? Am I going to take the next step? Here's a second observation about becoming a spiritual father. Become a child and have your sins forgiven. Become a child and have your sins forgiven. John says in the first stanza, I write to you children because your sins have been forgiven in his name. It's the characteristic of a child in the spiritual growth process to have this great awareness that their sins are forgiven. That's the awesome message of the gospel. Paul says in his writings that we've been redeemed and justified and reconciled. All of those are terms that describe what Jesus did for us on the cross in forgiving us our sins. The writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10 that because of this one work of Jesus Christ in his death, all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been completely forgiven and paid for. John is saying here in this kind of paradigm of spiritual growth, when you are a child, what you realize is your sins have been forgiven. And let me just tell you, this is the great message of the gospel. This is why it's good news. We can have all of our sins forgiven. If there was a whiteboard up here and I just start writing sins, I don't even have to think about you, just think about my own life. I just start writing sins and I fill the whole whiteboard up with behaviors and actions and attitudes and thoughts. And I come with an eraser and I just wipe it completely clean. That's what God has done for us as children. He's forgiven us of all of our sins. Now, the word that John uses here in the original language is the word aphiemi. Aphiemi, what it literally means is to remove or to take away and place somewhere else. That's what God has done for our sins. It says in the Old Testament, it says again in the book of Hebrews, God has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He's removed them. Aphiemi. See, picture this. You're here. And over here is Jesus Christ on the cross. When you become a child of God, your sins are taken from you, they're removed, and they're put on Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the awesome message of the gospel. And so John is writing to children whose sins have been forgiven. Now, he says, I write to you children, and lest we just kind of skip over that, to be a child, you have to have been born. Yesterday, we were at the beach, Donna, my wife and I, and I pointed out this couple to Donna. I said, look at this couple. There was a woman there. She had to be like 9+ months pregnant. And she was playing a little paddle ball with her husband. And I said, you know, look at that couple. And they just look so cute out there. And I said, you know what's amazing? There's a living baby inside that woman's stomach that pretty soon is going to come right out into the world. That's just amazing to think about. There's a baby there. It's alive right now. And in days, weeks, that baby's coming into the world. Guys, you spiritually, you may be a baby this morning waiting to be born. You're here, and you're not here by accident. You're here because God wants you to be born again. You're here because God wants you to come alive spiritually and become his child and know that your sins are forgiven. The question for you, for us, is, have I received Christ and asked God to forgive my sins? In my spiritual journey towards becoming a spiritual father, have I received Christ and asked God to forgive my sins? Here's a third observation. God's will is that every man become spiritually mature. Every man become a spiritual adult. Every man become a spiritual father. It's God's will for us. And there's a process that God is calling us to become that man he wants us to become. Here's an observation. To become that spiritual father, we need to know the Father. We need to know the Father. In the second stanza of these two stanzas describing children, young men, fathers. And the second stanza, he says, I write to you children because you know the Father. You know the Father. Now, the word know is a specific Greek word. It's gnosko. It's used in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul, talking about his own testimony and life story, says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And knowing Christ is of surpassing value. He's talking about this personal, experiential knowledge of Christ. So when John is writing this paradigm of spiritual growth and talking about being a child is one who has their sins forgiven and knows the Father. Again, yesterday at the beach, sitting next to us was this family, and the beach was great yesterday, by the way, awesome. And the water was really warm, and so this family, there was a little kid and his dad, they both had boogie boards. They went out and jumped into the water, and the kid's laughing, and his dad was kind of showing them how to take the waves on the boogie board, and they're messing around, and they came back and kind of high-fiving one another. And I was watching this dad with his little kid, and I was just saying, you know, at this stage of this child, he just knows daddy loves me. I have a daddy. My daddy loves me. And there is a parallel in the spiritual phase of growth in becoming a spiritual father. When we're children, it's in that phase that we know. We know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know our Father in heaven. He loves us. We're his child. It's an awesome spiritual development phase to be a child. It means you've been born. It means you know your sins are forgiven. And it means you know the Father. So the question for us men is, do I have a relationship with the Father? Do I live daily knowing that the Father loves me and I'm his child? It's part of the process, part of the growth process, part of becoming a spiritual adult, part of becoming a spiritual father, that we understand there's a process. We own where we are in the process. We take our next step. We become children. We realize our sins are forgiven, and we know we have a relationship with the Father, that he loves us. And then we take our next step, which is to become a young man and overcome the evil one. Become a young man and overcome the evil one. See, children are to become young adults. Physically, we expect that. And spiritually, God expects us. So if you are a child, take your next step and become a young man. And what John says to young men is, I write to you young men, and he repeats this twice in the first stanza and the second stanza. I write to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. You've overcome the evil one. The word overcome is the verb nikeao. Nikeao is a word that in its kind of substantive form is nike, which we say Nike. The shoes, Nike shoes. That's what it comes from. Or the girl's name, Nicole or Nikki, comes from this Greek word. It means to be a victor or to be a conqueror or to be an overcomer. And in the verbal form, it's to overcome, to conquer, or to be victorious over. And so what John is saying to young men is, I write to you, young men, because you have become victorious over the evil one, because you have conquered the evil one, because you have overcome the evil one. Remember, the way he writes this is in the perfect tense. It means you've attained something that you are living in the reality of what you've attained. See, the phase of spiritual young adulthood, the phase of being a young man, is all about fighting the spiritual battle. That's what it's all about. And not just fighting it, winning it. Winning it. See, you may be a man, you may be a believer for a long time, but if you're still losing most of your fights, you're not a father yet. You're still a young man. See, the distinguishing quality of a young man is that he's overcome. He's become victorious. He's conquered. See, now you've got to put this in the context of the Bible. And the context of the Bible is our victory is in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus has conquered the evil one. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. In John chapter 20, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. In Colossians chapter 2, it says because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he has triumphed over Satan and demons. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus was resurrected, ascended, and seated to the right hand of the Father above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus said in the Great Commission, I have all authority on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Jesus has fully won the victory. Jesus has fully conquered. Jesus has fully overcome the evil one. So men, in our spiritual fight, we rest in the victory of Jesus Christ. That's how we become victorious. It's just like in you know, like my favorite story in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. David goes down in the Valley of Elah, goes toe-to-toe with Goliath. They have this little exchange. Goliath throws out his threat. David says, the battle belongs to the Lord. But let me ask you a question. Who had to walk into the Elah Valley? Who had to face Goliath? Who had to take that slingshot and whirl it around his head? Who had to pick up a sword and cut off Goliath's head? David. See, men, the victory is Christ, but we got to fight the battle. But if all you're doing is fighting and not winning, you're still kind of moving into that young adult phase, because the distinguishing quality of a young man is he has overcome the evil one. Not just fighting the evil one, he's overcome the evil one. See, the Bible talks about a good fight. We're exhorted by Paul in his letter to the Timothy to fight the good fight. There are good fights. You know, guys, when they get together, a lot of times they start talking, just shop talk guys, you know, just talking. They talk about, you know, sports and maybe, you know, their old glory days. And, you know, if they were athletes and they lifted weights, and they talk about what they bench pressed, and then they talk about fight movies. And then at some point in the conversation between men, they'll talk about, you know, do you ever get into a fight? You know, in a schoolyard or in high school or whatever. Some guys have never been in a fight. Some guys have had fights. Some guys had a lot of fights. Your pastor, the holy man of God that Greg introduced. I got into a fight 2 years ago. I did. A fight. That wasn't when I was a little kid. It wasn't when I was in high school. 2 years ago. But it was a good fight, so let me tell you. So we're coming from the beach. It was my family. My son wasn't with me because if he would have been there, he would have definitely been the alpha male in the situation. But he was not there. So it was me, my wife, and my daughters. We're driving from the beach. We stop at my in-law's house. They live in Laguna Niguel. We drive, go over there. They're kind of hanging out in the garage, drinking iced tea. We sit down. We're just kind of having a good family time talking. And my father-in-law is on the association board of this neighborhood where he lives. And next to it is all these apartments. And they didn't have enough parking places for the cars in the apartments. So people were parking all in their neighborhood and taking up all the neighborhood parking spots. So they got the city of Laguna Niguel to kind of issue an ordinance so that you got to have a sticker to live in, to park in that neighborhood, and you can't park there unless you live there. So my father-in-law, as a member of the board, of course, felt righteously empowered to make sure people don't park there unless they, you know, really live there. So we're sitting there and just kind of hanging out, and this car drives in, really this old beater car, and he drives in, does a U-turn, parks right in front of my, you know, in-law's house, and then another car behind him comes, and the guy gets out, some, you know, kid in his 20s, he gets out, and he starts to walk to the car behind him. There's a gal driving it. I just kind of assumed it was his girlfriend, and my father-in-law really graciously, respectfully says, hey, you know, are you going to park your car there? And the guy goes, yeah. And my father-in-law says, do you live over in the apartments? And he said, yeah, he does. He said, well, you can't park there now because we've changed the ordinance and everything. And they've actually made some parking spaces, and he told them where they were. And he said, you're going to have to move your car. The guy disguised as cop and attitude. He posts up on my 80-year-old father-in-law. And just right out of the bat, potty mouth words, blah, 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 you old man. And like this, like totally like challenging himself, park my car anywhere I want. And my father-in-law says, you know, no, you're going to have to move your car, or I'm gonna call the police and have it towed. You can't park here. I can park anywhere, you blah, 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 blah. And we're all just sitting in the garage watching this thing unfold, right? And my mother-in-law says, Don, he knows where we live. He's going to trash our house. So then she turns to me and says, JP, take a picture of his license plate. Okay, I will. So I grab my cell phone, I walk over, you know, I take a picture of his license plate. Then the guy looks at me and goes, well, I can take a picture too. And he takes a picture, starts taking pictures of the house and taking pictures of us. And I'm just kind of standing in the driveway looking at this. And then Don, my father-in-law, says, okay, you need to leave right now. So then the guy actually does start to leave. He walks over, opens the door of his car. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was another exchange or not. I'm just kind of standing there. All of a sudden the guy stops, turns around, and he, with fists like this, he yells at my father-in-law, you son of a, and he's the whole thing, you, and he starts kind of aggressively moving towards him. Well, I'm standing in the driveway, and I'm kind of like seeing my father-in-law standing there like this, and seeing this young guy with fists raised, calling him, you know, a son of a whatever, and starts running towards him. And in moments like these, the mind slows down with clarity. And I want to tell you, with cat-like reflexes, I moved into action. It's like the country western song, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was, let me tell you. So I see him moving, and it's like before I've even like really processed, I'm my body's moving there. It's kind of like the old days playing football. Before I know where the ball's going, I'm moving to make the tackle. In fact, and as I'm going, there's this little kind of rational part of my brain that said, are you going to punch this guy? And then I thought, no, I don't want to see the headlines. Pastor jailed in fight at Laguna Niguel. So I kind of move towards him, and he turns around now, and he's fist like this at me. And then as I kind of move like this, I'm kind of down low. I hit this dude so hard, it hurt his whole family. I know it. Anyway, I just went, bam, I hit him, and I picked him up and then body slammed him into the street. I went, bam, back down. He's down now. And I'm kind of standing over him like this. And then I heard the Holy Spirit, but it sounded a lot like my wife. JP, you're going to hurt your back. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I got a bad back. What what am I doing? I went, oh yeah. And then I stand up like this. And then the guy jumps up. But in my mind, like, I threw you down once. I can throw you down again, dude. So I'm just standing here like this. Then out of nowhere, which by the way, just spoiler alert, do not mess with the family Jones. I'm just telling you this. So I'm standing there. And then out of nowhere, my sweet daughter Kylie comes running through, pushes me out of the way. Wham! Gets right up in this guy's face and says, if you hurt my dad, I'll rip your face off. The whole family is up, you know, quoting scripture, rebuking Satan, attacking this guy. He's like, oh my gosh. I go, well, you better just get out of here. The whole time my father-in-law is just over here smiling, watching this whole thing unfold. So he gets in the car and he drives off. Now we're all out in the street and we got all this energy and we look at each other and like, ah, just start laughing. Like we are the craziest people on the planet. And my wife says later, you know, yeah, you were in the street fighting. I go, clarification. He was in the street. I was standing over him. I just want that. Just kind of clarified who won the altercation. Now, the fact that I won doesn't make it a good fight. It's a good fight because I've rethought about it, reflected on it. It's a good fight because I'm not going to stand by and watch some guy attack my father-in-law or anybody who's like a victim in a situation like that. You got to stop it. There's some things, men, we've been called to fight. We've been called to fight sin. We've been called to fight evil. We've been called to fight injustice. We've been called to fight the devil. And not just fight, overcome him. In Jesus' strength and authority. In Jesus' strength and authority. Part of being a young man is you fight the spiritual battle. And because you discipline yourself to fight in the strength of the Lord with the full armor of God, you start winning more than you lose. And then winning becomes the paradigm of your experience. And that's why you're a young man, because you've overcome the evil one. So here's the question. Here's the question. Do I put on the full armor of God, fight, and win my spiritual battles? Do I put on the full armor of God, fight, and win my spiritual battles? Here's a fifth observation, because God's call is to become a spiritual father. We're all on a journey, but where we're going in the journey is to spiritual maturity, adulthood, being a father. Here's the fifth observation. We need to grow strong and let the word of God abide in us. Grow strong and let the word of God abide in us. In the second stanza, John writes to young men. He says, I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. I write to you young men because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. See, something about young men, this is in the physical world. Young men, kind of from that kind of teenage to young adulthood, there's kind of like, especially if you're an athlete, it's kind of like there's a spiritual prowess. How strong are you? You know, in my day, and I don't know as much as this, you'd always ask somebody who, you know, working out, you'd always say, how much do you bench? Because that was kind of like the test of how strong you were. The other day on Facebook, you know, with one of my buddies that I played high school football with. In fact, the guy I've told you the story about when I became a believer in Jesus Christ. My brother shared the gospel with me. I told the story. And then I was lifting weights with a buddy of mine in the garage. And we both began to read the Bible. And then we both became followers of Jesus. It was this buddy that I was lifting weights with. He posted up on Facebook a picture of like these rugby players, and it had these statistics of the top rugby players and kind of their spiritual strength and speed and stuff like that. And then he kind of put something in there, you know, oh, how the mighty have fallen, you know, oh, to be young again and strong and all that kind of stuff. So I posted back on there the fact that I remember when he was the strongest kid in our high school. So we had a coach who really got us into lifting weights. And it really wasn't, it was funny, now it's the kind of the paradigm to train like that in a high school sports. But back when I was playing high school, you didn't have to work out in the summer or any other time. You just showed up and practiced when the season started. But I had one coach who was really into weightlifting, and he got a group of us who we started lifting weights. And in fact, we competed in Northern California in a Bay Area competition. So all the high school athletes in the Bay Area, and three kids from our from our high school got first, second, and third. My buddy got first, another guy got second, I got third. And it was because our coach emphasized getting strong. Young men, be strong. If this is where you are in your spiritual season, guys, be strong. And the way to be strong, John says, is to let the Word of God abide in you. Got to get God's Word in your life. Got to read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. You cannot be passive. Just like if you're trying to get in physical shape, you don't work out once and expect that to change your life. You don't work out four times a month and expect that to change your life. You work out regularly, consistently, and you push yourself in the same way. If you want to get strong spiritually, you have to work out in the Word of God. You got to let it abide in you. You got to read it daily. You got to meditate on it. You have to memorize it. It's got to be hidden in your heart. It's the only way to grow spiritually. It's the best spiritual habit I have ever developed, getting into God's Word. My brother bought me a Bible when I became a Christian. He said, read this every day. So I did. And when I graduated from high school, I'd read through the New Testament. That summer before I went off to college, I figured out how many pages there were. I didn't even think about chapters. It was how many pages are there in the Old Testament? And I figured if I read 10 pages in the Bible that I had, if I read 10 pages a day, I could read the Old Testament from June to August before college started. And so that's what I did. And I read through the Old Testament that summer. And then I looked at the pages and I figured out how many pages do I have to read through the New Testament in 2 months and to read through the Old Testament in 6 months. So every day, that's what I did. In the morning, I read the Old Testament and at night, I read the New Testament. And I just read through the Bible, read through the Bible, read through the Bible. Then someone challenged me to memorize scripture. And they said, you need to memorize whole passages and whole chapters. So I memorized James 1. I memorized Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. I memorized John chapter 15. I memorized Psalm 23. I memorized Matthew chapter 5. I memorized Colossians chapter 3. And then someone said, you need to know specific scripture so when you share the gospel, you can have answers from God's word. And I was in part of Campus Crusade, and they had a thing called the Great Commission Memory Course. That 100 verses to memorize. I memorized those 100 verses. Then somebody, a buddy of mine, was in part of the Navigators, which is a Christian ministry that did all kinds of scripture memory. They had the Navigator memory course, so I memorized all those verses. And then I said, I want to know all the major doctrines of the Bible. So I memorized 10 verses on the Trinity, 10 verses on the doctrine of salvation, 10 verses on the Holy Spirit, 10 verses on living the Christian life. See, that's how you grow spiritually. You let the Word of God abide in you. That's how you get strong. There's no other way. So the question to ask yourself is, am I strengthening myself every day by reading God's Word? Am I strengthening myself every day by reading God's Word? See, these are spiritual steps towards adulthood. You got to be a child. And then live as a child. Then you've got to be a young man. Live as a young man. And then you become a father. The next observation is this. For spiritual fathers, know him who is from the beginning and become a father. Know him who is from the beginning and become a father. That's what John says to fathers in both stanzas. I write to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And in the verb tense that John is using, I write to you fathers because you have come to know him. In other words, you've attained that knowledge and you're living in it. You're not just in the process of getting it, you've attained it and you're living in it. Well, what is the difference between knowing the Father, which is for children, and knowing him who is from the beginning? Well, that term, from the beginning, is like a technical term in John's theology. If you read the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. That term from the beginning is used in John 1 when he says this at the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and nothing that has come into being apart from him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John uses the same word in the beginning of the John's letter that this is part of, the letter of 1 John, in 1 John 1, 1 and 2, he says, I'm writing to you who have known him who was from the beginning. What your eyes saw, what your hands touched, what you experienced concerning the word of life who was from the beginning. See, what John is saying is that a father is a man who has grown spiritually to the point that he has this deep, deep knowledge of God. In God, in his nature, God in his Trinitarian being, God in his attributes, God who is from the beginning. He has a knowledge of God that's life-defining, a knowledge of God that's the center of who he is and every decision that he makes. It's not just that joyful knowledge that a child has that I have a daddy who loves me. No, it's a knowledge that God is the true God, the I am, the creator, the sustainer, the savior, the king, the judge. Knowing God in a way that's completely life-transforming. That kind of knowledge of God. And John says, this is what fathers experience. They know him who's from the beginning. They're like Moses who encountered God in the desert and God said, I am that I am. They're like David who spent nights after night alone with God and wrote the Psalms. They're like Caleb in the Bible, who at 80 years old, getting into the promised land, said, give me the mountain where all the hill people are, because I want to take it. And at 80 years old, he fought that battle and won and experienced the territory that God had promised to him because he'd walked with God all those years faithfully. It's the knowledge of God like Isaiah had in Isaiah 6 when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated, exalted, and his glory filled the whole earth. And he said, whom shall I send? And I said, here am I. Send me. That's what fathers have. It's that deep, life-defining knowledge of God. So the question is this. Do I really know God at the deepest level of who he is and who I am? Do I really know God at the deepest level of who he is and who I am? And one last observation. What does it mean to be a spiritual father? Well, implicit in the term father is a man who has children. To be a spiritual father, you spiritually reproduce. You mentor others, so you are a spiritual father to them. John writes in 3 John, one chapter book, I have no greater joy than this, than to see my children walking in the truth. He wasn't talking about his physical children. He's talking about those people he influenced for Christ, those people who are walking with the Lord because of his spiritual mentorship. I got no greater joy than to be able to name those people that I've spiritually influenced and mentored. They're walking with the Lord because God used me in their life. A father is a spiritual reproducer. Paul said, to Timothy, writing to Timothy, who was a pastor. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Spiritual fathers entrust to faithful people what God has entrusted to them. Spiritual fathers pass it on. Spiritual fathers have a legacy. Spiritual fathers are influencers for Christ. See, every guy here is on a spiritual journey, and God's will is that we grow into adulthood, we grow into maturity, we grow to become spiritual fathers. So for some of us, we are not yet children, and we need to be born and have our sins forgiven and know the love of God for us and live in that as children. And some of us need to step into young manhood and fight the spiritual battle and win it and overcome the evil one and let the word of God abide in us and be strong in the Lord. And some of us need to step into spiritual fatherhood and really know God at the deepest level and have it define everything about our lives and be spiritual reproducers of others. See, Every guy is on a spiritual journey. We need to own where we are and take our next step. Could we, just as we are kind of closing our message, could we just kind of be still and kind of center on that? And that's really a message for every one of us, whether we're men or women. But for the men, if we could just kind of close our eyes, maybe in a posture of prayer, and just honestly say, God, you know, speak to me about my spiritual journey. Help me own where I am right now. And then just say, God, what's my next step? Just boldly just say, God, what is my next step in my spiritual journey? Just ask God that. And now, with integrity and honesty, answer the question, will I take that step? See, that's a choice. God won't make that for us. We have to make that choice. Just before the Lord, will you take the step he's telling you to take in your journey to become a spiritual father? Lord, I pray for every one of us to hear the voice of the Lord, to say yes to whatever you're saying to us, and to follow you boldly with hope and faith and expectation. In Jesus' name, amen.